This episode is brought to you by 100 Bogart Street, a co-working building in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Need a professional place to work from? Learn more by visiting 100bogart.com.
Welcome to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum, and I love to talk with people about what they do and how it influences their personal food stories. This is a show about people, life, and food. If you're just tuning in for the first time, all the previous episodes of Feast Your Ears can be found in the archives at heritageradionetwork.org. I'm thankful for listeners like you, and I'd love it if you'd leave me a review wherever you find this podcast. This year is our 10th anniversary here at Heritage Radio Network. That's 10 years of the best food podcasts. We bring you 35 shows a week, so please give us a little something for that. heritageradionetwork.org/donate. Become a member today. Today's theme, real fruit. It's what's for dinner. At least in the summer, I find that fruit, berries, stone fruit, melons, grapes, pears, apples, they all make it into dinner. And it's now that I'm thinking about the coming of great fruit. We all know that we can get fruit just about every kind, just about any time of year in our modern food system. But that doesn't mean that we should. When fruit is ripe is when you should eat it raw, cook with it, can it for later, enjoy it. I encourage you to think about how you can incorporate fruit into your meals. In salads, and marinades, and mains, and cocktails. Not just as an addition to pancakes or as a dessert. Dessert isn't an everyday occurrence in our house, but fruit definitely is. Apples are pretty good through most of the year. They can be picked at the perfect time and stored under nitrogen. That way they don't spoil. Citrus is best in the winter when its growing season is on in California and Florida. Strawberries are best in the spring here in the Northeast. New Jersey blueberries are great in July. In Georgia, peaches are in season from mid-May until about August 1st. My guests today own the Peach Truck, a business in Nashville dedicated to bringing the best, ripest peaches direct from the farm to you. Peaches, unlike many other fruits, can't be off the tree and under refrigeration for long periods of time before getting to market. At the Peach Truck, they work with farmers who grow 40 varieties of peaches to make sure there's biodiversity, availability throughout the season, and to hedge against crop failure. Stephen and Jessica Rose joined me in my apartment in Brooklyn last week to talk peaches, their new cookbook, and more. I hope you enjoy it. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming to sit down with me to chat today on your brief stop in New York. So I'm sitting here today with Jessica and Stephen Rose from Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, you live in Nashville now. You're not both from Nashville.
Right.
But you guys run the Peach Truck. Tell me about the Peach Truck.
Yeah, I mean, the Peach Truck was started in 2012, like 2 days after we got married. We were like, done with the honeymoon, let's go back, let's sell these peaches. Stephen grew up...
Were you planning? I mean, was the Peach Truck was in the planning? It wasn't like 2 days after your honeymoon you decided new business plan, life plan?
Thankfully,
it was a little bit more structured, yeah, that's
all right,
true.
Good.
That sounds a little... Yeah, deceiving. good call. But Stephen grew up in Fort Valley, which is where... Georgia got its peach name. Fort Valley is where all the peach farms are, and so he grew up having them. And when I followed him to Nashville, in our dating life, he was always like, where are the peaches? And you need to have a good peach. So we went down there. I couldn't believe it when I had my first peach. It was so incredible. And from there on, it was, you know, just talking to dear family friends of his who are the farmers, and they were talked about distribution issues, and we're like, well, we have a problem in Nashville, let's get peaches up there. And so from there it was like, well, we'll bring peaches up a few days after our wedding, and it all started from there, just nights and weekends. And then 8 years later here we are with you in New York, and we ship peaches, and we've grown the Nashville division where we're at all sorts of markets, and yeah.
And then we tour across eight different states.
That's a big part, too. Yeah, we tour across eight different states selling peaches.
So it started, Stephen, with your childhood.
It did, yeah. And, you know, it was that classic, like, am I nostalgic for my childhood and thought these peaches were amazing and really they were average? Or, you know, or are they actually good? And so, yeah, taking Jess down to the farm and her having her first peach, it was like, okay, good. Like, she's getting it, too. And then that first summer, it was nights and weekends just selling peaches out of our old Jeep pickup truck. And people were coming back week after week and telling us stories about, I haven't tasted this since I was a kid with my grandpa in the back of the truck. Or
sure.
This one time, you know, everybody had their one peach story,
yeah.
but hadn't found it since. And so we just felt like we were onto something enough to where before the next peach season, we both quit our jobs and said, let's see if we can, like, do this full time.
Amazing.
Selling peaches. And thankfully it's worked so far.
I mean, you know, we live in a time where, you know, produce gets shipped all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
like I can buy a peach here in Brooklyn in February or today even.
Right.
That's not going to be any good. Yeah. I mean, yeah. like 9 times out of 10, like sure. Maybe yeah. once in a while you mm-hmm. have, you know, I mean, we used to run a grocery store at the Brooklyn
wow.
Kitchen, and we would try and buy only in season, and we'd buy stuff direct as much as possible. You know, now you go to a Whole Foods, which is just a regular old grocery store, essentially, really hit or miss, right?
Yeah.
About whether or not the produce you're getting is going to be in season, grown in a place that is sort of like normally grown
right.
and hasn't been kind of forced into that. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the peach season, right? So what is the peach season in Georgia?
In Georgia, it begins in mid-May, so we're about 2 weeks into season now, and it ends about the first week of August.
Got it.
And the big thing with peaches is not just grown in season, of course, is huge. But time off the tree for peaches. They can't handle that time in refrigeration that a grocery store demands
right.
where they're going to different distribution channels and finally make it to, you know, the store. Well, there's already peaches on the floor, so we'll put these in the back in the cold storage.
Yeah.
And then finally, you know, 3 weeks later or a month later, the person's getting their peach home and it tastes mealy. Most fruits and vegetables are fine with time off the tree. Peaches just can't handle it. And so...
Got it.
For us to get peaches off the tree and into people's hands and do that every day, you know, bringing new peaches
yeah.
to people, it's a logistical nightmare. And, you know, we focus on one product, which is why we're able to do it, where, you know, a normal store has a couple thousand products they're
right.
dealing with. They can't focus on the peach, and that's fine. But we like to focus on that one thing and do it really, really well.
Now, within that one product, I mean, you know, growing up, I grew up in the Northeast. I did not grow up on a farm. I didn't grow up, you know, we had a tiny little garden. And, you know, we went to orchards and stuff, and I was very aware of things like apple varietals, right?
Right.
And in the 80s and 90s, people started to become aware of, like, heirloom tomatoes, that there are different kinds of tomatoes. But I still feel like very often, like, a peach, people are like, oh, it's a peach, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the same way people think of a banana as a banana or a mango as a mango, when really... There's hundreds, if not thousands, of different varieties.
Totally.
I assume, given the length of your season, that it's not the same variety of
right.
peach that's ripe today as you'll be distributing at the end of July.
Totally. It's 40 different varieties on
40,
the farm.
Yeah.
We bring probably 15 to 20 of those to market every year. And you don't... We always tell people, don't get stuck on a certain peach variety, because year to year, Mother Nature... You know,
yeah.
like, the harvester was fantastic last year. I was kind of average this year. So... You grow multiple varieties to be ripe at the same time, so that way you can pick them and bring the best one to the peach truck and get them to customers. So, yeah, it's art and science and just really pulling a peach off the tree, tasting it, and figuring out which variety is great this year. But, varieties are grown based on their chill hours. So peaches that are ready in mid-May are probably a 450 to 500 chill hour peach, which means that variety needs that many hours under 45 degrees in the winter. Where in August you grow a 900 hour peach, which that variety needs 900 hours of chill before it starts to wake up and get ready. So you've
wow.
got this like nice,
yeah.
yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And we're always testing new varieties, bringing, you know, this one's doing well in the Northeast, let's try it here. This one's doing well in California, you know, just always...
Yeah.
Trying new varieties to figure out what works great in Georgia.
Now, you guys contract with the farms to
yeah.
grow for you, essentially. 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where were the peaches that they were growing being distributed?
To grocery stores.
To grocery stores.
Yeah.
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 yeah. yeah. What we have done is, you talk about varieties. There's a variety called the Alberta that gave Georgia the peach state name. But it is yellow and hideous when ripe. You know, it just is ugly. And if you're at a grocery store and see a bright yellow peach versus a red peach, you're going to buy the red one.
Sure.
But for us at the peach truck to be able to tell that story and say, no, this is an heirloom variety. No other farms are growing it.
Yeah.
And we have it here and it tastes like candy. It's really wonderful to be able to connect the farm back to the end consumer instead of, you know, just the stores.
Well, and
Oh, go ahead. I was going to just tag, like, what you said about the heirloom tomato, like, that movement. We so saw that. I'm like, what? We need to educate people on peaches. And when you, I mean, if we were able to take a picture of the May peach all the way through to that August variety, like, one peach, it's incredible. The blush color changes. That Alberta is hideous. It doesn't even look like a peach. It's not even round. It kind of has this weird point. You're like, what is that? Is that a baby mango? It's so strange. But then you have, like, what we have right now, what we're selling.
Spring plum.
It's almost plum-like. It's super dark red. And then the last ones were like the classic perfect red blush with the yellow. So it's amazing. Yeah, just educating people on the fact that the Pearson Farm grows 40, but then all over the country, you know, probably in Jersey here, they've got, you know, their own, hundreds of varieties. Yep. So it's amazing. It's such an incredible thing to, you know, start educating yourself on those, the history of all these fruits.
Well, and I think it's so great that you guys are able to be in a position where you're educating people about the different varieties, right? Because we need biodiversity.
Yeah.
And you're educating people about the flavor as being something that's important. And I feel like apples, at least in places like New York, because we're such a big apple producing state, or like Washington, where you're from, you know, people are starting to know about varieties, right? You go to the grocery store here and you can buy 6, 7, 8 varieties of apple that all taste different, and people start to understand that. Mm-hmm. But really, it should be about flavor, right? That's why we
eat
the food. Mm-hmm. But so much of sales of food, because of the world we live in, is about the visual, right?
Yeah.
Instagram can't taste.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true.
Yeah, I mean, and if it's pretty and tastes good, then great. But we'll always focus on the taste good over the pretty.
Right.
And fortunately, peaches are naturally usually pretty. Not the Alberta, but
most of her.
So what brought you to Nashville?
Yeah, I moved there for a job in 2010, just a sales job out of college, and we quickly fell in love with the city, though. It was smaller, definitely, when we moved there. I mean, the last 8-9 years have been crazy. But it felt like a place that was excited about anybody who was going to do something interesting in town.
Sure.
You know, when we, I mean, obviously it's known for music, and, you know, to watch people's careers go from the open mic night to, you know, the bigger stage in Nashville to being on TV or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that was happening in front of us. And when we started talking to chefs about bringing peaches to town, it wasn't just, yeah, that sounds great. It was like, yeah, that sounds great. Let me call my other chef buddies and make sure they know about it. Because more good ingredients in Nashville means better restaurants, which is good for everybody. You know, there's this sense of there's enough to go around. We're not all competing with each other. And so we just fell in love with the community from the start. And thankfully there, you know, it wasn't any, we got to ride this like food movement that lifted up in Nashville as well with all these chef owned restaurants coming to town. But yeah, it's been a fantastic place to live and, you know, raise kids over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your kids. So you guys have 3 kids.
Yeah.
All under the age of 5.
Yeah, that's true.
You have a daughter, and you have twin boys who are 2.5.
Yeah, 2.5.
And you have a cookbook that's about to come out, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yes.
And you have this giant peach business. That is a lot.
It is a lot. I'm like, I spend more time looking at my calendar than I ever have in my entire life. Like, who's taking what? Like, I think even as we speak, there's like a handoff of like a grandparent giving the kids to a nanny. It's logistically like, wow, this is what this is. Okay, this is a lot. But we're getting there day at a time. Right? Like, no magic, just day at a time.
Now, do your kids like to eat peaches?
They do.
Okay,
they do. We've taught them well. I'm like, you have to stay on brand. You guys don't understand. It's really actually so fun. Like, these little kids so completely understand what mom and dad do.
Neat.
You know, it's just like we've got this Jeep Gladiator 1964 truck that's parked outside. And I mean, it's literally the peach truck. The truck is on our logo. So when Steven pulls it up, because sometimes we don't have enough cars, and I'm like, you have to take the peach truck, which is incredibly hot in the summer and a little, he might die young from the fumes. It's a little brutal. But, you know, he's pulling up in it. I mean, the kids, it's like, you know, Mickey Mouse has showed up, like the peach truck, and they're just writing this cookbook, and I didn't realize we were talking about recipes so much at home, and my daughter Florence, who's 4 and a half, showing me, like, Mom, I wrote a recipe too.
Oh, neat.
It's fun. I'm really, like, it's like a side benefit to the simplicity. Like, what does Mommy and Daddy do? They sell peaches, and
right.
and everyone gets it, and they feel so a part of it all, which has really been fun.
So I have the book in front of me. Thank you so much. Peach Truck Cookbook comes out June 25th and will be available wherever books are sold.
Exactly.
And you can order it off of thepeachtruck.com right now.
Totally.
So I have a cookbook that I wrote when my kids were younger.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I always tell people, and I'm, you know, I wonder if you guys had the same experience. Everyone told me writing a book was going to be really hard. And it was way harder than I thought it was going to be, even though I was told by lots of people it would be really hard.
Yes.
I mean, my son was like 18 months when I was in the thick of it.
Oh, dear.
And I swear he could hear my laptop open. Like, I would get up at 4 o'clock to write because I had no other time to write.
Yes.
And, you know, it's saying he would wake up as soon as I opened the laptop. Did you guys have that kind of experience?
Yes. Like, even coming to New York, yes. Like, they know. They just know when they should be sleeping and you need to get something done. Like, we trying to get out of the house before they woke up. Or we don't even need to be at the airport, but we're like, we got to get out of the house before they wake up. And right when my alarm goes off, I hear our little, one of the twins, Wyatt, like, Mommy! I'm like, it's 4:30 a.m. What are you doing? So everything you're saying, yes, in every way, it has been so much harder than we ever thought. The fact that a cookbook has essays and visually needs to be beautiful, and then you need to have delicious recipes, and then they need to be accurate, and then everything needs to be the tech, like, it is an incredible undertaking. That when we had the opportunity to do this, we went in incredibly blind, and I'm grateful for that naivety, because really, I don't know if I could have done it. So yeah, I think we share that bond, because yes, incredibly.
Who did the photography?
Her name's Lisa Johnson. She's out of Minneapolis, and
nice.
She we met her because we had a nice food and wine spread a couple years ago, and she came down to the farm and shot that, and we just connected. And you know, when this project came up, she was the first person we thought of to do it, and she did a remarkable job.
Such a badass. Like, she works so well, and she's become a dear friend. So we're so grateful.
That's awesome.
She crushed it.
There's a wonderful photograph in the beginning of the book of your three children in their bathing suits. Wet hair, I assume, from the yard eating peaches.
That's it. And this is the proper way to eat a peach with our kids, because they got to be out front, and then we spray them down because all the juice all over them, you know.
You can't eat a peach in my house. Like, you're either in the bathtub, it's like dessert in the bath, or we're outside and there's a hose. I'm a little particular, yeah.
So, you know, not coming from a place where I know that much about peach varieties, I know that there are freestone peaches and clingstone peaches.
Right.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
Tell me about the difference.
Totally.
What that really means.
Yes.
Okay. Well, at the beginning of peach season, May through like towards the end of June.
Mid-June.
They're clingstone. So it's not necessarily that's a variety. It's just what's happening to the varieties leading up to that point.
Oh, that is so interesting, because I always thought that it had to do with different varieties were either a clingstone.
Well, I mean,
they are clingstone varieties.
That's true. So the half of the season,
those varieties
are clingstone.
Oh, so there's no freestone peaches.
No,
before.
I mean, no.
Interesting.
And it's just the way, maybe it's the cold hours,
right.
but that flesh of that peach is like clinging to the pit,
right?
And then come mid-June and on, like the harvester variety really introduces us to the freestones, and from there on out, once you have a harvester on, they will all be freestone. Now the harvester, like if it's a little firmer, if it's not super conditioned and you slice it, it might still cling a little. So then you have this whole
semi-freestone.
So there's this whole progression, but yeah, they just, all the varieties in that May to mid June are cling, and then they all turn to freestone.
Oh,
and freestone is what you see on the cover of the book. It separates beautifully from the pit, and you're able to see it. So,
right.
yeah. Little peach education.
The Kling Stone, I guess, they're a little messier to eat because you're kind of having to suck them.
You're dealing with the pit a little bit more.
They're definitely not what you would, like, can with necessarily. Right. You definitely want to wait. I mean, and that makes sense. Like, towards the end of season, you're like, okay, I'm ready to stock up. This is my time to preserve this for the winter. That you're able to get the whole bit of the peach with those free stones. But, early on, just eat them.
Nice. I'm someone who likes to not waste anything in food.
Right.
So what are some things you can do with the pits rather than just throw them in the compost?
Ooh, what could you do with the pits? My mother-in-law has given me pits with angels. she makes an angel and put it on your Christmas tree.
Nice.
I've heard of people cooking the pits. We've never done anything, and there's nothing in the book with pits. But...
yeah, I want to do something with
that's pets. A great question. You could plant them and hope a peach orchard grows.
Right.
That's the best thing you could do.
Yeah, that's a great thing to do. Were there any recipes that didn't make the final cut into the cookbook that you really wish had made it in? When I was writing my book, I know, you know, there were a certain number of pages. And so at a certain point, there comes this moment where, like, you have this super long Word document of all the words, and then it has to get fit into an actual physical book. And so... there were places where I actually had to add some recipes for certain sections, but I had to get rid of some.
You know, they wouldn't let us have a book full of just cocktails. So we had to pare down the cocktails quite a bit. And, you know, I think in the summer, peach and bourbon is just a fantastic combination. It makes bourbon refreshing. Yeah. You know, so there was definitely a couple cocktails that I was sad to see go, but I love the ones that ended up in there.
I mean... a peach is a very versatile fruit. Like, I think people always go straight to desserts with peaches.
Right.
And for good reason. It was so fun to show that you can have it in dinner and breakfast and lunch and all these wonderful things. But yeah, I mean, since choosing our 100 recipes, I've felt like, oh, I want to do this next and I want to do this next. But my problem in the process was I feel like we took so many incredible pictures that I wanted to just have every picture in the book. And that's where we had to, like, really do hard edits. But yeah.
And you guys worked with some of the restaurants that you sell to.
Totally. Yeah, we did. Well. This book has, like, over 12 or more recipes from chefs in Nashville, which gives it such a celebration of Nashville. It's not just ours, which is really fun. Sean Brock, who's incredible, well-known guy, chef, he has his cheeseburger in here, and he uses peach ketchup on it, which is really fun. But this burger is insane. Like, for years, Steven would be trying to perfect it. And so when Sean was like, I'll provide a recipe, I was like, can it be the cheeseburger? Because we love it so much. Uh-huh. And he graciously said yes. So, yeah, it's like, you know, the peach stuff is incredible. And then you combine it with this amazing, you know, recipes from chefs. It's incredible.
So let's talk a little bit about the actual logistics, because that really, I mean, aside from the logistics of running a family, which you guys also do,
right,
getting peaches from the farm to the customers in the multiple variety of ways you guys do it really is a logistics.
It is.
Challenge, nightmare, project, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the tour.
Right.
How does the tour work? The tour starts tomorrow.
Starts tomorrow in Dallas, Texas. Okay. Today is May 31st.
First.
Yep. So June 1. And what will happen is a truck gets loaded in Fort Valley, Georgia, heads straight to Dallas to a dock where our truck meets it. And it goes off of the truck from the farm onto our truck. And then our truck goes to stop number one of tomorrow and shuts off and sleeps in that parking lot.
And oh, so it's ready in the morning.
So it's ready in the morning. And you've got a thing with, like, number of hours that a semi-truck could be moving in a day. So that way we're not counting any hours until after the first stop. That's a pretty good move, right?
Yeah.
And, and so they sell out of the back of the truck to hopefully hundreds of people in line in Dallas. We'll see. We've never been there before. And then we go to the next stop. And we've got two teams going at the same time. And so we hit six stops a day.
So basically, you guys have put... it's essentially like a rock and roll tour for peaches.
It kind of is. It's literally like a miniature peach festival in parking lots across eight different states.
But not just any parking lots. Like, we really try and work alongside with, like, family-owned garden centers, you know? Not trying to do, neat. Like...
Totally. We're not in the big just, box stores. We're
no, or just a random parking lot. Like, we're connected with people. And businesses like Ohio is a great state that we've been in for quite a few years now. And, you know, the owners of these stores will be like, man, it's the peach bump. Like, you guys come, wow. You're only in our parking lot for an hour and a half, and it's packed. It's mayhem. But we move really fast. Like, people are always surprised. Like, I saw the line. I was dreading it. And I was in and out with my five boxes in no time. And these stores get just, like, a massive influx of people in their you know, place in the middle of summer, which can be a challenging time to, like, have good sales. So it's been such a cool thing to, like, support them and local small businesses while also, like, being able to, you know, do our thing. It's crazy. It literally is, like, six times a day, like, these mini blasts. If you watch on Instagram, last year was so funny. I feel like there were so many husbands. Like, my wife told me to go get peaches, and now I'm in this line. And, like,
this guy's like, is Bono at the front of this?
Yeah, he's like, what is at the front of this line? And it's just amazing. So it really, you're kind of like, what am I a part of right now? And so it's fun.
Are you ever going to bring the tour to New York?
We, you know what? In 2014, we came to New York and we did Smorgasburg.
Oh, sure.
And, a couple places over at Carroll Gardens. We were at Chelsea Market. It was great. What is interesting about New York is that y'all don't have cars. And people are like, what do you want me to do with this paper bag of peaches all day?
Right. Yes. New Yorkers are used to buying in much smaller cars.
Right.
They're
right.
not buying a half a bushel of boxes.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it was great. And we still have, you know, lots of people from that year who are like, when are you coming back to New York? Which is very flattering. We ship nationwide from our website, and that's usually the best way for New Yorkers. We probably will come to upstate New York next year, though, on our tour. You know, we're in Pittsburgh and Cleveland. It's kind of a, you know, a jump over to Buffalo.
If you guys want to run up to Rhode Island, I got connections up there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fun.
I love that.
Providence would be really, probably love it.
Yes,
totally. Totally. That's awesome.
It would be incredible.
You know, for the book, though, we'll be in Tribeca at Barnes & Noble for our first book tour event, which is, or our second book tour event, right?
I'm not sure, but it we'll be.
You don't have your calendar out, so
I'm just
the first one
today.
Is at Parnassus Books in Nashville.
I know what's happening today.
Oh, yeah. Parnassus Books is a great store.
It's amazing.
Great?
It's amazing.
I haven't been in Nashville in a very long time, but I remember going to Parnassus Books when I was there.
They're amazing.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, we're so happy to have them in our backyard.
Absolutely.
This episode was brought to you by 100 Bogart, a new building in Bushwick, Brooklyn, with meeting and event spaces available for on-demand booking. Looking for the next perfect outdoor location for your next gathering? Host your next event at 100 Bogart's impressive rooftop, just steps away from the Morgan L Stop. It's one of the largest and tallest roof spaces in Bushwick, boasting 360-degree views of Brooklyn, Manhattan, and Queens. 100 Bogart's rooftop is available for your next networking event, fundraiser, special performance, or photo shoot. There's approximately 5,000 square feet, ample space for up to 100 guests. For more information on hosting an event at 100 Bogart's rooftop, email info@100bogart.com or call 718-362-3539.
This is Harry Rosenblum, host of Feast Your Ears on Heritage Radio Network. I've been a part of the HRN community for the last 10 years, and even after all that time, I'm constantly inspired by the incredible voices on our network. Each week, I record my show in the recycled shipping containers that make up the HRN studio, because I'm excited to bring you, our listeners, the fascinating stories of my guests. All of us here at HRN are on the air because we love it. This year, HRN is celebrating its 10th anniversary. Can you believe that? 10 years. But we need your support to keep food radio going strong for the next decade. Join the HRN community today by becoming a member. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate right now. You can even show some love for my show by selecting Feast Your Ears in the designation drop-down menu. Thanks so much for listening to HRN.
So tell me about the original peach truck.
Right.
Like, do you think you'll ever build up, like, are you keeping an eye out for old Jeep Gladiators? Like, do you want to build up and have more than one so you can have them at these events?
You know, the one baby, I joke that I'm on our mechanic's Christmas card list, which is not a good sign. You know, I get that magnet calendar from old Greg every year. Yeah. But the one truck is plenty. We do, you know, kind of farmers market booths around Nashville, and the truck will make appearances at random places, which is always exciting. But overall, the one Jeep Gladiator is plenty for a person who has no idea how to fix anything. You know, it's going to Greg's Auto if anything isn't going right.
So how did you get the truck originally?
We were dating still, and his car was falling apart. It was like dripping something on my shoes every time I was in the coolant. I was like, my shoes are being ruined. I couldn't shut the door. Anyways, I thought, you should get a truck. And he's like, I want a Jeep. I'm like, you're so impractical, Steven. And I'm all like, practical, let's get a truck. That'll help me move into your house one day or something. And so he gets on, I think it was just Craigslist, right? And it's like, I found a cool car. Well, it's this 64, it's like an antique truck.
And at the time, I'm commuting a half hour to work, you know.
If not 45 minutes. It was crazy. So we go and meet this guy. He's just desperate to get rid of this 64 Jeep Gladiator because he's got kids and he can't have them in this truck. And they literally swap vehicles. He had a...
Amazing.
It is a silly... Like,
the guy... You've never seen a guy's eyes light up more than... I was like, you know, because he was asking too much. And I'm like, I've got this Ford Thunderbird. And he's like, I love Thunderbirds. It was a 95 Ford Thunderbird. Not a cool car.
Right,
uncool car. Yep. And I'm like, dude, the AC and the door doesn't really... He's like, I love it. I always love the dashboards in a Ford Thunderbird. So we swapped.
You just traded straight away.
We straight up traded. And
it was crazy.
I know. I actually came across a phone number that was like the name Jeep in my contacts the other day. And I texted, I'm like, did I buy a Gladiator from you? And it wasn't him. I'd love to find the guy to let him know. Like,
right. Look where the Gladiator is gone.
A little bit. Yeah.
Send him a book.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. He would be really dumbfounded. Like, your Thunderbird broke on me like 3 weeks later, probably. Poor guy. That was crazy.
Wow, that's a great story. I've driven antique cars my whole life. And
that's awesome.
They're really fun to drive. But I feel like fewer and fewer people have the kind of like the willingness for, I don't know what to call it, adventure, breakdown, AAA towing, I don't know. Like, you know, there's something wonderful about driving an old vehicle and the way that it feels to drive it and the way you feel driving it and the, you know, people love seeing it, but you have to be willing for the unknown.
Right.
Like, you have to be a little bit up for the unknown.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that. I love the unknown. I grew up with... It wasn't antique cars, but always breaking down in my family's cars, running out of gas. Yeah. You know, it doesn't bother me to be stranded on the side of the road.
Right.
You're totally right. On a spring or fall day when the weather's perfect and the windows are down, you're like, there is no place I'd rather be than in this truck. Mm-hmm. It's the best.
Totally.
It is fun.
So I noticed on your site that you guys can't ship to California, Arizona, Hawaii, and Alaska.
Right.
Now, Hawaii and Alaska make sense because they're really far away.
Exactly.
Peaches won't make it on time. Mm-hmm. Why not California and Arizona?
They have their own agricultural laws that prevent us from shipping in state.
Like tariffs.
Like tariffs. They will not let... You know, even if you drive into California from, like, Nevada, they've got the agricultural stop, you know, to make sure.
Sure, I forgot about that.
They don't like that out-of-state produce. And they grow so much there, and they're fine, so...
Yeah, but they ship all of it out, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're putting it on us.
Yeah. I mean, the California peaches, I'm sure, are showing up in Nashville.
Oh, yeah. Well,
right?
Sure,
oh,
yeah.
No, it's totally... It's just one of those things that we have no idea why, but we follow the law.
Yeah, of course. I talk on almost every episode of Feast Your Ears about the pre-show questionnaire that I send to my guests.
I loved it, too. We were talking about it on the flight up.
So you guys both said a great place to sit is the same chair.
I'm curious
to know how that works out in your house if you both like to sit in. Because my wife and I, we're sitting in my apartment right now.
Yeah.
We each have a chair, and then we have a couch, and we shift around. But really, like, the one chair is hers and the one chair is mine, just sort of how it works out. So how do you guys, deal with who gets to? Is it, like,
that's a really good
you call
question.
Dibs? Like,
we've never run into that as is a problem, but...
I mean, I'm upset when I don't get to sit
oh,
there.
Oh, you are?
I'm not upset. I'm just uncomfortable.
This is good. This is helpful. We're having a little
this is
counseling.
Therapy.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
it's
you
just...
feel... I'm just kidding. that's great. Yeah, yeah, it's the most comfortable chair.
And it was your grandfather's.
It was my grandfather's, yeah. Yeah. You know, pictures of me and him. I mean, it just, like, the best memories of that chair for whatever reason.
It's gotten sentimental for me because having had twins, like
right.
these cute little like rockers and nurseries that you see online, I'm like, I need something bigger.
Yeah,
I need something
right.
like legit. And this,
the
armrest
yeah.
you like can so, you just like, oh, you're so relaxed in it. You can flip up that like, it's a lazy boy recliner.
Yeah,
just,
and yeah there's
I,
nothing classic of it. It's
no,
like a 80s lazy boy.
I mean, I recovered it and it's really cute now. But, It literally, I don't know what I would have done without that chair when we were like having those kids, like just falling asleep, holding one or both of them in the middle of the night. Like it would have never worked.
Right.
So it's a precious chair. Our kids love it. I can get all three of them on my lap reading
chair.
A book still.
Nice.
They're getting bigger, but yeah, it's a, that's funny. We did. We both
yeah.
wrote that.
Yeah. You guys both wrote that. So Jessica, you grew up in Washington State.
I did. Yeah.
So, I mean, apples are... You know,
apples.
A big deal out there now.
Yes.
Now grapes and wine, sort of more recently.
It's true, yeah.
But you know, you mentioned that your family had annual cider presses, so
uh-huh.
you guys made cider as a
yeah
when you were a kid.
We did every fall, like towards the end of October.
I mean, they still do.
Yeah, still do. My parents and my brothers. I have three brothers. Have like really kept it going, which is so much fun. But yeah, this old oak barrel, and I mean just memories in my Uncle Matt's garage, like all the aunts and cousins are cutting apples and you're spinning, and every aunt brought a pot of soup and there were sandwiches, and it was just like this incredible, I mean, fruit was always in my upbringing, which
yeah.
is really funny that we do what we do here,
mm-hmm.
but like I would ride my bike all over the town I grew up in, and me and my brother Tim would, I mean, stop and pick blackberries. Like, that was our snack, and put them in our bucket and take them home and make a pie. And, I mean, apples and cherries, climbing all the cherry trees. I mean, just fruit was, it was available. I was always
yeah.
around it. And then drinking that apple cider, like, at Thanksgiving, you know, pulling it out of the freezer and enjoying it. And you know that you put a lot of work into it. It's
right.
amazing. So,
yeah.
yeah, it was just great. So fun.
Do you guys think that you would ever expand the peach truck business to include, I mean, you sell Georgia pecans as well.
Right.
We do.
Do you think you would ever expand into other fruits in a similar distribution model?
You know, obviously the audience is there and we've built a lot of trust with the peaches. It would really take something special that we haven't seen yet because...
Mm.
I mean, there's nothing quite like a peach that elicits such a strong reaction
sure.
and people have such fond memories of.
Right, and seems to have all of the things you talked about already about needing to get to the customer within a certain
right.
amount of time and can't be. I mean, like apples,
yeah.
it already exists, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
People are aware of varieties. There's
mm-hmm.
lots of heirloom. There's tons of research. Cornell University
decent,
has hundreds of varieties,
yeah.
and they store them under nitrogen, and they store really well.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, you can get a really good apple, not as good as like, but you can get a really good apple now
mm-hmm.
when they're none ripe.
Absolutely.
Today in, you know, almost anywhere, better probably in New York and Washington where they're
sure.
grown, but... It's fine, but you can't get a peach today
you
that
really
came off of a tree last year.
No,
exactly. And that logistics has completely been our success because of our singular focus. But yeah, I mean, we would never say never because I never thought I would be doing this. So
sure.
like, let's just take a pause. But I mean, it's something we're always looking to for a challenge and to expand and for other things. I mean, we work with nature and... 2 years ago, we had 90% crop loss for our season. So it's an
wow.
amazing, like, you live with, like, open hands, like, grateful for whatever Mother Nature brings us each year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll see. But as of now, we're very much just peach-focused.
And we feel like there's so much, like, the cookbook is the start of this, but, you know, going deeper on the peach, there's so much more. We have three flavors of jam that we sell year-round. We're coming out with a hot sauce and a salsa, and you know there's so much more for the peach to do year round
yeah.
mm-hmm.
in this kind of pantry area that we're calling
sure.
it that we feel like let's you know, see how deep we can go on this love affair and then, right. and then go.
Well, and those value added products are a great way to use peaches. I mean, even though you are selling peaches that aren't traditionally beautiful,
right.
they're still within that are peaches that get damaged or get overripe and things like that. And nothing there's all kinds of value add that you can do.
Right.
Yeah. None. Every peach that we get is used in some way. Like there's zero waste. Cause like you, I think I was pretty sick over that. Maybe our first two summers, just seeing any peach, like, turn to rot and be like, what did we do wrong? And
right.
So making those logistical corrections so that, we can't have waste. Everything can be used. It's great.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for sitting down to chat today. People should look at thepeachtruck.com to pre-order the book, order peaches delivered, or if you are in, what are the states? If you're in Texas,
Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania, and Michigan.
Then you should look at thepeachtruck.com and check out the tour.
You got
which
it.
Starts tomorrow, June 1st, and goes until
August 1st.
August 1st.
Yeah, and there's a great all locations page. Actually, it just says locations. You can put in your zip code to see if we come near you and the date and time of that.
Awesome. And you guys are on social media at The Peach Truck.
You got it.
Rad, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. You.
Thanks for listening to Feast Your Ears today. You can find Feast Your Ears as well as lots of other great shows at heritageradionetwork.org, on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Please take a moment to rate and review the show, and please reach out to me if you have any questions. You can reach me, Harry, at thebrooklynkitchen.com, and you can follow me on Instagram at thefoodballer. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.